I'll be discussing the Healthy People 2020 Sexually Transmitted Diseases Objectives. I have no personal financial relationships or interests to disclose. So what I'm going to do today is basically give you a brief overview of the Healthy People Initiative, the role NCHS plays in the Healthy People Initiative. Then I'll focus on specific all the objectives in the Healthy People 2020 STD topic areas and conclude with key takeaways. So do you guys know what Healthy People is? It's basically a national health promotion disease prevention agenda that communicates a vision for improving health and achieving health equity for all Americans. It consists of overarching goals and a set of specific objectives with targets to be achieved over a 10-year period. And these objectives are organized within distinct topic areas. Healthy People 2020 currently has 42 topic areas. So Healthy People has evolved throughout the decade. It's currently in its fourth decade. As it evolves according to the public health priorities. So when we started off in 1990, there were two overarching goals, basically on decreasing mortality and increasing independence of life. Now, with Healthy People 2020, we have four overarching goals, as you can see here on the far right, and 42 topic areas and over 1,200 objectives. So it has definitely evolved over the years. It is also led by the Department of Health and Human Services. So what specifically is the role of NCHS in Healthy People? We serve as the statistical advisor to the Department of Health on, and also the topic area work groups on health promotion data. Through our national surveys, NCHS basically tracks over 40% of all the Healthy People objectives. We maintain a comprehensive database of all the Healthy People objectives, and this is also located on the healthypeople.gov website. We develop research for measuring those overarching goals, and we develop analytic and graphical presentations to display progress towards reaching those goals and objectives. And these presentations are shown through webinars with the leading health indicators and also the progress reviews. So now I'm going to go into the Healthy People 2020 STD topic area. This slide shows the current status of the STD objectives. The traffic lights, as I call them, show the, whether the objectives are moving away or towards the target. And the ones that do not have the white colors are currently developmental objectives. And developmental objectives do not have any baseline or target set yet. So there are currently 17 Healthy People STD objectives. This chart shows the current status of the objectives towards meeting their targets. As you can see in a dark green and light green, about 40% are moving towards or have met their Healthy People target. 24% actually met the targets and 17 are moving towards meeting their target. About a quarter or show little or no detectable change towards the target, and 12% are moving in the wrong direction. There are three objectives that are currently developmental, and one objective with only baseline data. So all these other objectives have trend data. So the three developmental objectives that are currently in the Healthy People STD topic areas are all related to HPV and low-risk and high-risk HPVs, and the plan is to convert those to measurable status in May of 2015, and they're measured by the NHANES survey. So this slide shows the current STD topic area data sources. About half of them are tracked through the STD surveillance system. The NHANES tracks about four of them, and three of those are developmental objectives, meaning they don't have any data yet. The healthcare effectiveness data and information sets tracks four objectives, and the National Survey for Family Growth tracks one objective. So now I'm going to talk about, before going on to the STD objectives, I'm going to just give a general overview of the sexual transmitted disease burden. According to CDC, there are about 20 million new infections annually, and half of those occur among young people ages 15 to 24. The total prevalence of STIs or STDs is over 110 million, and the direct medical cost is over $15 billion. So we're going to go now into examining trends towards all those healthy people objectives. As you see, this slide shows the current prevalence of chlamydia infection from 2008 through 2012. As you can see, the rate is higher among females compared to males, and the disparity is still wide. This next slide, which is a healthy people STD objective, tracks the proportion of chlamydia infections among adolescents and young adults attending family planning clinics. You can see there's an increase in chlamydia infection moving away from the target, which is shown here in a dotted line. Rates for blacks, non-Hispanic females is increasing, and the disparity is apparent here. Also, rates among 15 to 17-year-old is decreasing, and rates among 18 to 24-year-old is increasing. So this is among the objective basically tracks 15 to 24-year-old young adults. And it's through the STD surveillance system that we get this data from. The next slide shows two other healthy people objectives, measuring chlamydia infections among adolescents and young adults enrolled in the National Job Training Program. As you can see, there has been a decrease among the females aged 15 to 24, and they have actually met the target. The decrease went from about 13% in 2008 to about 11% in 2012, reaching the healthy people target. However, the rate among males has remained constant at 7% between 2008 and 2012, not meeting the target. This next slide shows four healthy people objectives on annual screening for chlamydia infections among 16 to 24-year-old enrolled in Medicaid and commercial health insurance plans. As you can see, there's been little progress among 16 to 20-year-olds enrolled in Medicaid plans, showing little or no progress towards the target. Among 21 and 24-year-olds, there's been a slight increase in annual screening for chlamydia, and a similar trend also is seen in those enrolled in commercial and health insurance plans. Little or no change among 16 to 20-year-olds compared to a higher increase among 21 to 24-year-olds. These objectives are measured through HEDIS, the Healthcare Effectiveness Data and Information Set. So now I'm going to go into another STD objective, actually two of them, gonorrhea infections among males and females. You can see the trend is higher, the rate is higher among females compared to males, but the disparity looks like the gap is narrowing. The males rate has increased between 2008 to 2012, and the female rate has also decreased slightly, but not significantly. This next slide shows the disparities of gonorrhea infections among females, and as you can see, the black female rate is disproportionately higher compared to the other rates, about 10 times higher than the white non-Hispanic population. Even though the trend is going down, it's still a huge gap in disparities. They have not met the target. However, all the other race ethnic groups have met their targets. Similar trends occur among the male population. You can see that the black male population gonorrhea infection is much higher compared to the other race ethnic groups. All the other race ethnic groups have met the healthy people target, and the disparity is still persists in gonorrhea infection. This next slide shows the primary and secondary syphilis infection objectives. As you can see, the rate is higher for male compared to females. The disparity is increasing between the males and females, males have not reached the healthy people target, actually is moving away from the target, while the female has reached the target and actually is going below the healthy people target. The next slide is on congenital syphilis infections. The rate for congenital syphilis per 100,000 live birth has decreased between 2008 and 2012, exceeding the healthy people target. And it's actually the lowest rate it's been since 1988, when the case definition of syphilis changed. This is another two STD objectives on genital herpes. As you can see, that the total rate of genital herpes has decreased, currently reaching the healthy people target. But although looking at the confidence intervals, it's not statistically, doesn't appear to be statistically significant. The male, Mexican Americans, and white population all have reached the target, but you can see the disparities by race, ethnicity, and gender or sex here. So we still have a ways to go. This next slide shows an STD objective that tracks females who have ever been treated for pelvic inflammatory disease. This is tracked by the National Survey for Family Growth. And as you can see, the rate's approximately 5% said that they have ever been treated for pelvic inflammatory disease. Rates are higher among Black and Hispanics compared to Asians and whites. Those receiving public insurance are twice as likely to report ever being treated, maybe three times as likely to report ever being treated compared to those in private. And those with less than 100% family income threshold are more likely to report having ever been treated compared to those in the highest income group. So I would like to conclude by giving you key takeaways from the presentation. About 41% of the STD objectives with data to measure progress are currently moving towards or have met their targets, while 36% are moving away or showing little or no detectable change. The proportion of females 15 to 20 who have attended family planning clinic and tested positive for chlamydia increased by 12% between 2008 and 2011. The proportion of female aged 16 to 24 who were enrolled in the National Drug Training Program and tested positive for chlamydia decreased 14.1% between 2008 and 12, and annual screening for chlamydia was higher among females in the 21 to 24 years group compared to those in the 16 to 20 year group enrolled in Medicaid and commercial health plans. The rate of gonorrhea decreased for females, but yet increased for males between 2008 and 12. The rate of new reported cases of primary and secondary syphilis decreased among females, while the rate increased among males. HPV seroprevalence decreased by 19%, and as you can see by the risk ethnic slides, that the disparity persists across risk ethnic groups, age group, and sex. So despite the burdens, costs, and complications of STDs, and the fact that they are largely preventable, STDs remains still a significant public health problem. And by showing these, we hope that the data will drive some type of change. And this is my contact information. You can see all these objectives on the Healthy People 2020 website, on healthypeople.gov, or the NCHS Healthy People website. That's it. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank all the presenters. They all, basically addressed sexual risk reduction, but different across different geographic locations, different audiences. But I'm sure all of you have a lot of questions brewing. So we'll open up the floor to questions. The only thing I'll be doing is I'll be repeating your questions because it needs to be recorded. So I'll start with whoever raises their hand.
Thank you.
do you mind coming to the mic? No, no, I don't, if you could come to the mic, so it needs to be recorded, the question. Yes, yes. If you didn't want to, I could repeat it, but...
And thank you again, by the way, for the presentations. They were excellent. My question is for my second question is for Dr. Jones. You mentioned that there was some data reflecting that the youth were receiving some kind of sexual health education in the schools, and that Latino and African American youth were reporting lower rates of birth control use. Was there any questions regarding whether the education they were receiving was abstinence education, or was it more comprehensive education?
That was not a correct. We weren't clear about that.
Right. Thank you. Any other thoughts, comments? Question is the level of parental involvement in and parent engagement, correct? And are you directing it to a specific speaker?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Jones.
And it's actually about what
the characteristics of the intervention for parent engagement. Thank you.
Right. Basically, having focus groups involving the parents in ways you can reinforce positive behaviors, ways you could prevent some of just really reinforcing some of the training that the children, that the youth will have. But also, you know, we talked about the positive, the game. That they learned, that the young children learned, which affected their aggressive behavior. So also, if the parents understood that and they got some of that training, they too can help reinforce those behaviors in the children, you know.
Question is for Dr. Shahada in terms of what is your recruitment strategy for your
recruitment strategy. Actually, we could direct that question to Dr. Virginia McCoy. She headed the parent project. Dr. McCoy, if you don't mind. Sorry.
That's a very good question for migrant workers. We used outreach workers for the recruitment. And we generally, because our population was African Americans and Hispanics, we paired an outreach worker who was Hispanic and with one who was African American. And we sent them into the neighborhoods where these groups were living. And generally, in this community, it's well known where these areas are. So, you know, we had compiled, as you know, recall they were randomized. So we recruited from sites in a particular pattern so that we would be sure to be able to randomize eventually. Is that helpful?
For Dr. Shahada and Dr. Faulkner. In terms of, you know, incentive, did you provide any incentive to participate in your study to, you know, the audiences you both used?
I know that they did use an incentive, but I don't know exactly what it was for the parents' study.
That's always a question I'm always grappling with. What is appropriate? What is not? What is legal? What is not?
Good behavior game study with the follow-up, you notice the gender differences between males and females, and in particular, do you have any explanation or thoughts about why the difference?
They were still considering that themselves. For the females, there was no change in their drug use later on, but for males, there were. There's some speculation, but it's not clear.
Thank you, Dr.
I guess, in much more research, we find that there are gender differences. The way women respond, first of all, the way drugs impact on their system, and the way, they respond to it. Same with HIV, in terms of the men. So women, there are gender differences. That's with interventions. Got to tailor them differently for women because the needs are different. So, there's some interplay with all of that.
Question for Ms. Gurley. As a result of the assessment you did, are you contacting other organizations or giving out grants to address the disparities that you came up with?
We, organizations, cannot contact the organization to be successful. But hopefully the data will drive.
Thank you again for attending, and thank you so much for spending the time.